I'm going to open the meeting for Capital Construction Subcommittee, February 23rd, 2017. And I'm going to open a public hearing on House Bill 5020. Would you please give us a summary of that?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the subcommittee. House Bill 5020 makes changes to previously approved bond authorizations and doesn't approve the issuance of any new bonds. The Dash 2 Amendment and staff recommendation is on OLIS. The Dash 2 Amendment does three things. It approves the use of $785,000 in Article 11 G bonds and $10,395,000 in Article 11 Q bonds authorized in House Bill 5005 from the 2015 session to the Higher Education Coordinating Commission for the Oregon Institute of Technology's renovation and upgrading of Cornett Hall in place of the previously authorized Center for Excellence in Engineering and Technology. It authorizes the Oregon Business Development Department to use $990,744 of remaining lottery bond proceeds authorized in Senate Bill 5533 from the 2013 session for the Portland Japanese Garden and reduces the amount originally authorized for the Confluence Project. Conversely, the amendment approves the use of $990,744 of lottery bond proceeds authorized in House Bill 5030 from the 2015 session for the Confluence Project and reduces the amount originally authorized for the Portland Japanese Garden. So the total amounts under each project remain exactly the same, but the change allows the proceeds to be spent timely under federal rules for tax-exempt bonds. And finally, in the amendment, that it approves statutory changes to ORS Chapters 286A, 291, and 341 related to the administration of the state's bond programs. The amendment clarifies the Department of Administrative Services' role as the bond program administrator for lottery revenue bonds and ongoing general fund-supported general obligation bonds. The Article 11G bond program for community colleges is combined with the public university system, or the Public University Program and the Higher Education Coordinating Commission, and then it removes obsolete references to community college facilities accounts. And finally, the budget report for the bill will include clarification language that allows the use of $277,881 in remaining Article 11 Q bond proceeds from project savings on the East Tunnel Structural Improvement Project at the University of Oregon toward additional work on the East Tunnel utility system. And the budget report will contain language that allows the consolidation of seven separate Article 11 Q general obligation bond authorizations detailed in the budget report for House Bill 5005 from the 2015 session to the Oregon Youth Authority for capital improvements at multiple facilities into one deferred maintenance authorization.
Is there anybody in the audience that wishes to testify on House Bill 5020? Colleagues, is there any need for further explanation from staff as to what we're doing here? Okay, I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 5020, and I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 5020. Mr. Vice Chair, or Mr. Chair, Co-Chair, sorry.
Whatever works. Mr. Chair, I move the adoption of the Dash 2 Amendment to House Bill 5020.
Colleagues, you've heard the motion to move the adoption of the Dash 2 Amendments to House Bill 5020. Is there any objections? So moved. Mr. Co-Chair.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 5020 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommend, or to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Colleagues, you heard the motion to move House Bill 5020 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Is there any objection? So moved. Okay, I need a. Who wishes to carry that? Representative Smith will carry.
How
are we
getting contact?
The Senate.
The Senate. You should. Okay.
The Senate, I'll carry.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to open a public hearing on House Bill 5043. Madam, please give us an explanation of what we're doing here.
All right, Mr. Chair. House Bill 5043 is the budget bill for capital construction projects for the 2015 biennium. The Dash 1 Amendment and the staff recommendation are posted on OLIS. Specifically, the Dash 1 Amendment does one thing. It establishes $23,850,000 in other funds capital construction six-year expenditure limitation in the Higher Educating Coordinating Commission for three projects. And I'll name those projects for the record. Klamath Community College Student Success and Career Technical Center, Rogue Community College Health and Science Center, and Southwestern Oregon Community College Health and Science Building. Those projects are funded with Article 11G bonds that have been previously authorized in House Bill 5005 from the 2015 session. Those bonds are anticipated to be sold during the 2015 biennium, and the project requires, or the projects require, the corresponding expenditure limitation.
Thank you. Is there anybody from the audience wishes to testify on House Bill 5043? Colleagues, is there any discussion that we want to have? Looks pretty. I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 5043. I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 5043. Mr. Co-Chair.
Mr. Chair, I move the adoption of the Dash 1 Amendment to House Bill 5043.
Colleagues, you've heard the motion to move the adoption of the Dash 1 Amendment to House Bill 5043. Is there any objection? So moved. Mr. Co-Chair.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 5043 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
My colleagues, you've heard the motion to move House Bill 5043 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Is there any objections? Who wishes to carry before I bow down?
Mr. Chair, when's the next full ways means?
Oh, that's a good question.
If it's not tomorrow, I can do it. I'll carry, if you want.
Okay, a week from tomorrow. Okay, Rep. Huffman will carry on the House side, and I'll carry on the Senate side. Thank you. Okay, this one's going to take a little longer. I'm going to open a public hearing on Senate Bill 5508, which is the budget rebalance bill. Paul, take us home on this one.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Senate Bill 5508 relates to state financial administration. The Dash 3 amendment replaces the bill. The bill is necessary to achieve a balanced budget for the 15-17 biennium. The bill also includes an emergency clause. A summary of the budget adjustments of the Dash 9 amendments has been included on OLIS. I would note that the net adjustments are negative $9,180,412 of general fund, negative $1,761,497 of lottery funds, an increase of $19,791,443 of other funds, and an increase of $957,967 of federal funds. The general fund primarily comes from the unused balance of the emergency from the emergency board or the emergency fund. And I would note that this rebalance does not cover DHS or OHA. Those will be at a later time in a separate bill.
Is that it?
And that's it. And LFO is recommending adoption of the Dash 3 amendment.
Dash 3. Anybody from the audience wish to testify on the rebalance? Oh, I do. Gil Riddell. So what's up with the counties, Gil?
Well, thank you for having me, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm Gil Riddell, Policy Director, Association of Oregon Counties. Senate Bill 5508 presents an opportunity to raise again an issue of importance to counties. My comments are before you on the OLIS materials. It's one page. AOC requests that the practice of allocation to counties based on an early in the biennium revenue forecast for video lottery proceeds be ended, and that the shared video lottery funds be based once again on ORS 461-547. Under that statute, counties receive 2.5% net receipts after payment of prizes from video lottery games. These funds are dedicated to economic development projects, investments urgently needed by counties, particularly in our rural communities. The 2011 legislature suspended the statutory formula calculation for the 2011-13 biennium to provide counties with a fixed funding amount based on the May 2011 revenue forecast. The 2013 and 2015 legislatures followed the same practice for their current biennium. AOC respectfully requests that this practice stop and that this committee remove the allocation for the 2015-17 biennium, and that ORS 461-547 be permitted to operate. AOC acknowledges that the allocation method was helpful to counties in the 2011-13 biennium, but the loss in 2013-15 of nearly $2.3 million of economic development funds due to the allocation, and the very real potential of losing another nearly $3 million 2015-17, convinces AOC to return to the statutory deal. Counties know these revenues have their ups and downs. We're willing to accept that. We would respectfully ask that this statute, which was wise policy when it was adopted, that we return to this, to the operation of this statute. Thank you very much.
Does anybody have questions here? I'm glad someone does.
I don't necessarily know if I have a question, but more of a comment. And I think it's just important for us collectively to remember that AOC is one of our partners, not a constituent, but a partner. And it's important for us to remember during the good times and the difficult times that we need to make sure that we're acknowledging and recognizing this. And in my view, the notion of contributing or paying out to the counties on a regular basis and then truing up as we get to the end of the biennium is a rational approach to that collaboration and partnership. And so I appreciate you being here and appreciate all the work the counties do for us.
Mr. Chair, thank you, Representative Smith.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Devlin.
Could I ask Mr. Bender to come forward so he can explain a little bit more of the history of this? You may have been in a receipt. I'm in a receipt of a memo from Mr. Bender, but if Mr. Bender could go into this a little bit more detail. The basics of it is we went to a system of allocating based upon, you know, literally in a sense, the end of session forecast, I think, practically, and that's what we allotted to the county. And in one biennium, that was beneficial to the county because lottery revenue fell in that biennium. But now there have been two consecutive bienniums when it hasn't been beneficial to the counties. 13-15, it wasn't beneficial. In this biennium, it wasn't beneficial. I know I'm giving my own explanation, Mr. Bender, but but I think there is still an issue outstanding here, and I think it's still an issue that we can deal with. We could either deal with it at the full committee, or I believe we are still going to be rebalancing this budget in a couple different areas later this session, the 15-17 budget. Mr. Bender, I hate to bring you up here, but can you add a little bit more history to this so I don't feel like I've wasted your time bringing you up here?
Thank you, Senator, and subcommittee members. I think that your explanation was accurate. It's now been three biennia that this legislature has chosen to provide a fixed allocation to counties and to the other, all of the recipients of lottery funds, except those that are determined constitutionally as a percentage of revenues. Clearly, the legislature does not have authority to change those amounts. But for all of the statutory allocations, you've provided all lottery-funded programs with a fixed amount of money. And in the short session or in other situations, you have, in some cases, adjusted that to rebalance the budget.
Follow up.
Senator Gable.
And just to clarify, there would be still another opportunity before this session is over to adjust for 15-17. Is that not correct?
That is correct.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair, I might add that we were before you in at the end of the 2016 session, raising the same issue. So we can be patient and watch. I hope.
You're not going away. Is that what you're saying? Okay, any more questions? Representative Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As delightful as it is to see Gil here every year or two, I would like us to give strong consideration to, I mean, if the county's willing to go back to the statute and whether it be high or low, live with it, and then we can hold them to that and say, but Gil said, even if it's down, you know, we can live with that. You know, I'd like to seriously consider their wishes.
Thank you.
One last comment. And excuse me for that, but Mr. Chair, thank you very much, Representative Huffman. One of the issues is that the estimated amount is based on a very early in the biennium revenue forecast, and so it almost necessitates an adjustment later on, which may be extra work for you, but we are indeed willing and request to go back to the statute. Cease the allocation process.
Okay. Any further questions for this group? Okay, thank you, gentlemen. Any other questions at all? Because I have a question. I need Oregon State Police to come forward if you will. My question, and I think hopefully you got it before, because when I went over the rebalance, item number 20, mm-hmm. the $1.3 million, can you tell us why we're cutting there? It's for those that don't know, it's for, I think it's for poachers and that sort of thing, in which the legislature spoke pretty loudly that we want to make sure that we have people out in the field that are enforcing that. So you want to tell me why this is on the chop list here?
Sure. So for the record, my name is Colin Nealand. I'm the Administrative Services Director for the Oregon State Police. Co-Chair Gerard, Co-Chair Holby, members of the committee, to answer your question, Senator Gerard, regarding why we are requesting to rebalance general fund out of our Fish and Wildlife Division and into other parts to address administrative and agency support needs that support our sworn enforcement divisions. And so for the benefit at State Police, when we talk about sworn, we're referring to our law enforcement officers. So those are our troopers, our sergeants, and the other folks that are out there enforcing both the traffic safety laws and the law enforcement laws, and of course our fish and wildlife laws that they enforce. And so the $1.3 million that we're looking to rebalance is related largely to vacancy savings that we're having on the general fund side. That's equivalent to about 4 to 5 trooper positions, including all the related equipment and trucks in the case of the Fish and Wildlife Division over the course of a 24-month biennium. And that was not an intentional situation for the agency. That was a situation that came from vacancies that we had. And the benefit of moving forward in the rebalance that we've requested is that allows the agency to continue to support the Fish and Wildlife Division through moving funds over to our dispatch centers and our IT, our professional standards, which is another way of saying internal affairs when you're talking about a law enforcement agency, our central records, which helps manage our public records requests that also benefits our sworn enforcement divisions, and then also our fleet operations that also builds the trucks. And so what this allows the agency to do is to continue to support not only the Fish and Wildlife Division, but all of our sworn operations within the agency. And what it also allows is that it allows the agency to move forward with a plan to do those things while also not hurting the Fish and Wildlife Division, because they're still moving forward with a plan to be at close to full strength or at full strength with all their sworn positions filled, either now or near the end of the biennium.
Okay. Any questions for this individual? Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else in the audience that wishes to testify on Senate Bill 5508? Hearing none, I'm going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 5508, and I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 5508. Mr. Co-Chair.
Mr. Chair, I move the adoption of the Dash 3 Amendment to Senate Bill 5508.
Colleagues, you heard the motion to move the adoption of the Dash 3 Amendments to Senate Bill 5508. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so moved. Mr. Co-Chair.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 5508 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Colleagues, you heard the motion to move Senate Bill 5508 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Any objections? Hearing none, so moved.
Mr. Chair.
We need carriers. You want to carry this one?
Mr. Chair, I'll carry it to the full committee and to the Senate floor
Yeah, if I'm chairing at the full committee, then Representative Nathanson will carry it at the full committee, and she'll also carry it to the floor, because it is the primary rebalance bill.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, so Nathanson for the House and Devlin for the Senate. All right. I need to close the work session, thank you, on Senate Bill 5508.
His job is done.
Chair for dummies. Okay, and we're going to open a work session, or I'm sorry, we're going to open a public hearing on Senate Bill 55-A.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee or the subcommittee, Senate Bill 55-A provides supplemental funding for the Oregon Promise Program for the 2015-17 biennium, the current biennium. Due to higher than anticipated participation in this new program, an estimated additional $3,556,302 are required for the remainder of this school year and biennium. This estimated amount takes into account the projected increase in the number of students, new students enrolling in the winter and spring quarters, and a retention rate of almost 100% for students continuing the program for the winter and spring quarter. Any funds remaining from this appropriation will revert at the end of the biennium. The other important part of this bill is that it also suspends the statutory $10 million annual limit in spending for this program, but it repeals it only for the remainder of this biennium in this school year. There is an amendment, the dash A2, and it's purely adding the appropriation language and of the $3.6 million.
Okay. Is there anybody from the audience that wishes to give testimony on Senate Bill 55-A? Colleagues, any discussion on Senate Bill 55-A? Okay. Going to close public hearing on Senate Bill 55-A, and I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 55-A. Mr. Co-Chair.
Mr. Chair, I move the adoption of the A2 amendment to Senate Bill 55-A.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. The motion is to move the adoption of the dash 2 A2 amendments to Senate Bill 55-A. Is there any objections? Hearing none, so moved. Mr. Co-Chair.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 55-A as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. The motion is to move Senate Bill 55-A as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Any objections? Hearing none, so moved. Who wishes to carry this one? I can carry it on the Senate side if you want. Or
okay, why don't you carry it to the committee, and if Senator Hass wants to, he can carry it on the floor.
That's fine. Okay.
I can carry it.
Okay. All right, anything for the good of the order before we're done? I'm not sure everything will be quite this fast and efficient, but this is a good meeting to get us started. We are adjourned.
Is that a comment about me?